We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that guy. That fine gentleman over there in the heart of the Midwest. The one, the only, the incomparable Dan Rubens. Sir, how are you?
I'm sad. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh?
It's been a season. Ups and downs. It's been long. It's been short. But this is the best. This is the best week of the season. And I'm sad that it's all downhill from here, Ty. I mean, I love conference championship weekend. I love random bowl games. You know, I love the high-level football of the college football playoff. Sometimes. Sometimes high-level. Sometimes not so high-level. But I'm a little wistful. I'd love to go back to week 8. No?
I'm wondering if you want to go Sad Dan Saturday with our theme for this week.
I'm going to tell you why I'm not. I didn't even think of an S nickname.
Neither did I. It's amazing.
It is your choice. Maybe we'll come up with it throughout the rhythm of the show. But today, because today is what today is, you have final say no matter what your gut instinct is. Maybe it's my choice, but you say that's the one I want. But if you come up with something that I'm not super keen on, it doesn't matter. Because today, Ty.
How old are you?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm 40.
The 40-year-old.
I'm 40.
I'm 40.
The 40-year-old.
Forte.
You look 30.
I'm 40. I'm 40.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Ty, happy birthday.
Thank
Entering
you,
your fifth decade of life here on our Rivalry Week preview show.
40 Woo! Trips around the sun for yours truly. Yeah. This last one was better than most of them. Thank you, Dan.
No problem. Did you like the Al Michaels? Forte! Forte!
That was good. That was
Thank
good.
You.
I appreciate that very much. It's good to be with you on my
and
birthday.
Under the whole thing, I'm going to tell you this. This is behind the music with Sublime's 40 Ounces to Freedom. Come on. Every little detail you deserve.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Always thoughtful, Dan Rubenstein. And it's good to be with you. It is sort of the gift that keeps on giving that we get to do this show with one another every week, and that we get to do the Rivalry Week podcast, no less, on my birthday. You know the drill on Rivalry Week, don't you?
Gotta throw those records out!
You just take them, you throw them out the window, do what you will with the records, but you throw them out. And we've got a bunch of games here on the slate. It's a robust slate of games that we're going to go through today. Where, yeah, you look at the records and it's like, whatever, dude. Just throw them out. We don't need those records.
Sure.
Getting in the way, collecting dust, throw them out the window. This is what happens when you got big rivalries in college football. So we got a bunch of big headliners that we'll go through. typically what we'll do on the show is we'll organize our document accordingly. So every week you got like five big games, right? Those go in the headliner section. Those are the ones that we talk about first. But it's rivalry week, man. So what we do is we're going to go through kind of like we do on the Solid Saturday stream, which you should be watching every Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
We're going to go through window by window. I'm going to talk through some of the big games. We're going to talk through some of the undercard games. We want to do our best to get to as many as possible. Surely we cannot get to like all some 60 odd games, but we will do our part here to mention all the ones that are most of note. Does that sound right to you?
It sounds perfect. I have lots of thoughts on lots of games. I'm going to be wrong on most of them in terms of picking against the spread, but I'm going to try to give you why you should be watching just about every single one of these matchups. We're going to squeeze as much juice, so much interest juice to be squeezed and harvested out of rivalry weekend, Ty.
Squeeze that juice Saturday, maybe a little much.
I don't know. We'll get there.
Don't forget to go on out to solidgiveaway.com. That's where you can register for a signed Robert Griffin III RG3 mini helmet. We will draw that winner after conference championship week. It is free to enter. You just got to go through a few steps before we can consider your entry. Also, if you haven't already, please do subscribe to this show. Apple Podcasts, it helps. Spotify, Google, wherever it is that you get your podcast, please do make sure you are subscribed and not just listening through our fine website, solidverbal.com.
That'd be great. It really does help.
Really does help. Don't forget to check out the articles that we post thrice weekly on solidverbal.com. And last but certainly not least, verballers.com, Dan. Verballers.com, that's where you can find our Patreon community. You can get access to this show, all of our shows early. You get access to bonus content throughout the course of the week. Get access to the Discord community, which is always, as I say, teeming with great Verballers talking about all things college football. We've got a recipes channel in there. We've got an other sports channel in there. We got people talking about other podcasts in there. Just a lot going on. If you like the show, if you like our community, we would encourage you to check it on out one more time. VERBALLERS.com.
Yeah, even getting more nerdy during the offseason as well over there on the Patreon with specific team deep dives or topic deep dives. We've got lots of plans. The document is already filling up for January through late July, which is pretty cool.
Shall we dance, Dan? Shall we do it?
I'd love to.
Let's do it.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
Week 13, known in these parts as Rivalry Week, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agree. And we're recording this on Tuesday, so if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning and you would like us to react to the playoff rankings that were released last night, I can't believe Cincinnati's won. That's wild. Oh my God. Okay, there it is.
I'll play it again just because.
Throw them out.
Throw the records out in rivalry week. Doesn't matter.
By the way, the weird thing, you texted me this yesterday, and you're just like, hey, here's the Virginia Tech ball that's being used with a police escort. And this is the dumbest, weirdest sport. Like, if you had to explain it to somebody, like, what's different about college football? Like, I don't know, a terrible Indiana team and an up-and-down Purdue team are playing for a friggin' bucket. Okay. They're playing for a bucket, and it's an important bucket. Do not disrespect the bucket.
Do not disrespect the bucket. It's a Civil War era bucket found on an Indiana farm. I looked it up.
So that's what's wonderful and beautiful about this sport, and they can never take it away from us.
We will talk more about the old oaken bucket game a little bit later on in our segment, our DraftKings Game of the Week segment towards the end of the program. But in the meantime, let's talk right out of the chute here about the big guy.
Yeah.
They call it the game. Hopefully it'll be more of a game than when Ohio State played Michigan State last week, because that was the MAME. Get it? Ah! Sort of rhymes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So look, on the spreadsheet that I maintain, that I will probably dress up and make available to our Patreon folks next year, if I can figure out how, I've got this one right at 8.
Okay.
The line is 8. In favor of Ohio State. You have to go back 5 years to find an Ohio State-Michigan game that ended up as a one-score game. And I take this line based largely on the strength of the Michigan defense and special teams.
Okay. Yep.
Which are both very good. Unlike the Michigan State game from a week ago, I don't see the writing on the wall here for that same kind of blowout. Maybe I'm wrong, but in looking up and down this one, I feel like Michigan's defense is obviously in a much different place than Michigan State's, and the defense will keep this one relatively close, as in not 56-7. So that's good for Michigan.
Not bad.
And I think there's plenty of precedent, furthermore, looking at Ohio State's resume thus far against better defenses, namely Penn State and Nebraska, to at least suggest that this could be a game within that 8-point margin.
I mean, Oregon was much healthier on defense when they played, and where they were able to get stops in big moments as well.
So the operative question here, as we are throwing out the records and looking at what a true playoff game, is that what Jim Harbaugh called it?
Which is fair. These are both playoff-ish teams. I'm okay with that.
The operative question is, can Michigan win? Can Michigan win, Dan? Do you think Michigan can win?
Yes. They need to win in a very specific way, and we know about corralling the Ohio State firepower on offense, being jobs number 1, 2, and 3 when you look at Chris Olave, Jackson Smith, and Jigba and Garrett Wilson, and then to a slightly lesser extent but still incredible extent, Travion Henderson. The big thing that Michigan, or the big things that Michigan has going for them, if we are making the case, if we are building, you know where I'm going with this, brick by brick, the way that Michigan can win this game, because it is going to be a very specific process. It is the pass rush, having the best pass rushing duo in the conference, which changes some offensive calculus for Ohio State, right? That can mess things up, especially looking at what Aiden Hutchinson has done, one of the probably top five pass rushers in the country. A pass rush and an ability to avoid mistakes, find some playmakers, find some depth with guys like, what, Ronnie Bell and Blake Corum going down injured. Other guys have stepped up. Cade McNamara, not an amazing quarterback, but doesn't make a lot of mistakes, runs the offense well enough. So there is a recipe by which Michigan can win this game. It's getting after the passer, keeping plays in front of it on defense, keeping the chains moving on offense, which they don't always do, but they're terrific on defense at getting off the field, which is a quality attribute. It's there. It's absolutely there that they can either win this game. It's in Ann Arbor, correct?
In Ann Arbor.
So in a rivalry spot with a good defense, with an energized crowd, not necessarily the most hostile place to play, no matter how loud Michigan fans are, just because of the shape of the bowl. I can see it.
Me too.
I absolutely can see it.
Me too.
I'm going to stick with my belief system in taking the points. You said it was 8 points?
8 points now. Yeah.
I'm going to go with my belief system in taking the points. I hate that I'm doing it, but this is a different defense, right? Ohio State solved that, like, largely corners on an island, Don Brown blitzing with corners, you know, hung out to dry unless they're excellent. Ohio State solved that. I'm a firm believer that Michigan can harass Chris Olave, who doesn't always make great decisions, usually does, but doesn't always make great decisions when pressed, when angry young men are in his face. So I'm going to go with the belief system here. I hate it because the thing I believe in the most is Ohio State going from 7 points to 28 points while taking a long poop, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing that you can count on if you've watched the past few weeks. I believe Michigan's defense is a lot better than Michigan State's and Purdue's. I think they can handle it at times. The problem is the firepower and keeping up. Yeah. If it's 28-14, is Michigan out of the game? It's 28-10. If it's 21-10, is Michigan out of the game? Because they don't know what they can count on to get things close. That's the worrisome element to me. So I don't have Michigan winning this game, but I'm taking them at home. And it's a little bit of hope. It's a little bit of belief system. And maybe it's a little bit of bias, but because I'm married into a Michigan.
We all do what we got to do, Dan, right?
Yeah, I understand. You turned your back on Lehigh. That's a personal decision you made. I'm going Michigan, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it, but there are, when I can list various things, the special teams thing, right? That they, the hidden yards, Michigan doesn't lose. I'm going blue here. And maybe it's a surprise party Saturday.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think I'm going to take the points.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go Ohio State, but I'm not at all confident in that. And I agree. I think Michigan can win the game. I agree. It needs to be a very specific way. I think this one's going to feel a lot like when Ohio State played Penn State. a couple weeks
ago. Okay.
That was a one-score game until the fourth quarter. Noah Ruggles kicked the late field goal. But Penn State had three turnovers, including one that went back for a touchdown. Not saying Penn State would have won if they didn't commit all the penalties. You know, that's like an old fan thing, right? Like, sure. Oh, well, if we didn't make all the mistakes, we would have. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But Penn State did a fair amount in that game to shoot themselves in the foot. They certainly were out-coached in that game. They weren't necessarily outclassed. They were good enough to compete with Ohio State. The problem for the Wolverines is exactly what you said. Keeping up. And in this case, I think covering everyone that they have to. Ohio State goes 18 deep at like every skill position.
Yeah.
And eventually somebody's going to make a play in crunch time that's going to give them enough padding to separate and win and I think cover this spread. But again, I am not confident in that at all. So if you're an Ohio State fan, if you're hearing this, if you're seething, like what more do we have to do to I like Ohio State. I like Michigan. I think both are really good teams. And this matchup scares the hell out of me. It should scare the hell out of you if you're an Ohio State fan.
Should it though? Should it?
Oh, I think so.
I think if you've watched Ohio State the past couple of weeks that you're cruising. Now, Michigan is the number one team in the nation.
But whoa, hold on.
Against the spread is what I'm saying.
Hold on.
Yep.
I have watched Ohio State the last couple weeks. They were amazing against Michigan State. They weren't amazing against Penn State. They sure as hell weren't amazing against Nebraska. And those were two teams who actually had defenses.
Okay. And it was on the road, the Nebraska game. And this one's on the road as well. Yeah.
But the Penn State game wasn't. And you'll recall, before the Penn State game, I was predicting the fall of Penn State football.
I know.
It seemed as if that thing was coming off the tracks. It still may be coming off the tracks, but it didn't in that Ohio State game because of the defense. So, yeah, if I'm a Buckeyes fan, I look at this, I'm a little worried. You're on the road against a hated rival. It's a big game. I don't know. They call it the big game.
That's true.
33-24, Ohio State wins, barely covers.
Can Cade McNamara get injected with whatever Sean Clifford was, the magic juice before
the
match?
The magic juice, the FIFA spray, whatever it is. I don't know. But yeah, 33-24 is my predicted score
here. A near close call cover, but Ohio State managed to get over the top. All right. I have 28-24 Ohio State. I'm right in that same region. I think that magic number for Michigan to score to win this game is 31.
Yeah.
It's difficult for me to see right now, but I'm taking the points.
So elsewhere in that early block of games, clearly Ohio State Michigan is the headliner, but we've also got the clean old fashioned hate game between Georgia and Georgia Tech. Georgia is a 35 point favorite. Mm-hmm. We've got an interesting ACC contest between Wake Forest and Boston College. Wake is on the road in that one, 4.5 point favorite. And then we've got the Sunshine Showdown, Daniel, between Florida State and Florida. Florida is favored by 3, which is something else. And this game, I believe, is for bowl eligibility, is it not?
Is Chandler Morris starting at quarterback for Florida? Is that a thing? Should he just go around as like the Johnny Appleseed of new starting quarterbacks for interim head coaches? Otherwise, yeah. I mean, the interest here, there's nothing terribly interesting to me about Georgia Tech. It's a rivalry game. It has a fun name, but Georgia Tech's on offense, if it's Jordan Yates, it was rather inept against Notre Dame. So a 35-point spread.
It was bad.
Seems appropriate. Wake Forest, BC, though, Ty. It has divisional implications, Atlantic division implications. Wake wins and they're in to the ACC championship game.
You went through the catacombs of the ACC tiebreakers, right?
Yep. Wake losing to BC knocks them out. NC State losing puts Clemson in. NC State winning puts NC State in. Okay, there's that. So that game actually has implications. We have a healthier Phil Jurkovec. That's a fun matchup that actually has interesting postseason implications and could help to send Wake to a New Year's Six game, which is a wild, wild prospect and good for the Deeks.
Yeah, I'm going with Wake. For as much as I like Phil Jurkovec,
as am I. As
I'm going to ride with Sam Hartman and the Beard to get to 10 wins because that's a cool story. And, you know, I think they acquitted themselves pretty well against some of the better competition that they've played as of late. Now, maybe not against the Clemson defense, but they scored a fair amount against Clemson. They just couldn't keep pace. Wake may be better than I gave them credit for over the last month or so. So I'm going to root for Wake in that one. I'm going to take a minus whatever on the road at Boston College. The Florida State-Florida game to me is supremely interesting because I would imagine there's going to be a ton of money coming in on the Noles here.
Sure.
Because Florida fired Dan Mullen. Clearly, these are programs at this juncture headed in opposite directions. The Gators, I think, are in that mindset where they just want to be free to watch The Witcher Season 2 coming out, I think, December 17th on Netflix.
Wow, look at you.
I don't really
think... Not a sponsor
think,
could be, yeah.
I don't really think they give a damn about the bowl at this point. I think they're really just playing to get this thing over with. If what we've seen over the last couple weeks is to be believed and part of a trend.
Unless you believe that there is relief, right? That there was a cloud hanging over the Florida program and there's relief that they can go out and still end the season on a high note, beating the rival at home in the swamp. You know, there's going to be juice in the stadium. Maybe, you know, maybe people are extremely happy that Florida has made a change locally and they're excited for the future of Florida football. And there's a reinvigoration in Ben Hill Griffin. That would have to be your belief. I'm going with Florida State here.
Yeah, I'm going Florida State outright.
Yep.
I don't necessarily share that belief. And Florida State is impressed. Maybe I'm a sucker for storylines.
I mean, they almost gave away the game to Boston College. But yes.
That details. But they have impressed since a horrible start.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can get the bowl eligibility, I think, is a cool story. So I'm going to go Noles here. Why not?
Done.
Let's move over to the 3:30 block, the afternoon block on Saturday. A couple games here of note. We will start with the Iron Bowl. Saturday, 3:30, CBS. It is Alabama minus 19.5 on the road at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
In normal circumstances, a road tilt at Auburn would not be a great recipe for a cover. The issue...
Especially pushing up against three touchdowns is a favorite, yeah.
Yeah, especially pushing up against three touchdowns. These teams have actually split... Over the last 4 years, whoever had the home game has always won over the last 4 years. But Bo Nix is out for the year, and Auburn lost to South Carolina a week ago. I really want to pick the home team here. I want that storyline. I want to take those points, but I cannot find my Tracy Chapman, Dan, with TJ Finley as the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially in light of what happened last week against South Carolina. I love that South Carolina storyline as well.
Yep.
But dog... Losing to South Carolina is not going to give me the vapors when it comes to playing Alabama. I'm sorry.
But it's that number, though. It's that number. Whereas Alabama has played, not down, but has not separated itself from various teams. An LSU team who just blitzed the hell out of that offense. And then Arkansas, of course, with a quarterback and an offense in a much better place than where Auburn is with their backup quarterback, for sure.
But come on. You're not going Auburn here.
I mean, it's just the number. It's just the number. That worries me a little bit. Now, Alabama themselves they're probably playing a little bit with style points, right? Because while they control their own destiny going to the SEC championship game and they can beat Georgia and they're in, obviously, they have played down. There is going to be resume comparisons, but it's real tough to see. It's real tough to see, especially I don't trust TJ Finley to protect the ball. If Alabama does a reasonable job at stopping Tank Bigsby in the ground attack, then they should be fine. Alabama's weakness is allowing bigger plays and allowing quarterbacks to get comfortable throwing the ball downfield. I don't see that. I don't have an Auburn receiver that, I mean, they're decent dudes, but there's not a guy that pops. TJ Finley, you know, he'll throw the ball downfield. He's fearless in that way, but I just think he's too mistake prone, and Auburn at this point is 2-1. No, you saw Bo Nix, by the way, on some sort of stream, gave Alabama some bulletin board material that the officials are always on Alabama's side.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you saw that. Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Which is, I don't know if it's talking, that's not really bulletin board material for Alabama material, but I'm going Bama here. I just don't have that reason. I'm right there with you. If I could point to something, but seeing Auburn and, you know, not scoring a touchdown with Bo Nix against Texas A&M, stuff like that, it just, South Carolina thing scares me. It's too scary. So, roll tide.
I mean, my thing is, if TJ Finley were good enough to beat Alabama, wouldn't he have been playing all along?
Well, Bo Nix has beaten Alabama. Didn't mean he was necessarily amazing, but he was the quarterback when Auburn did beat Alabama. Yeah, look, you can bank on him saying, okay, he has been raw, he has been cold, and now he's warming up, and maybe he'll play to the moment. You know, at home, War Eagle. Well, I don't know.
The fact that we're ending all of these sentences with question
sillier
marks.
Sillier things have happened.
Tells you everything you need to know. I'm with you. I'm going Alabama minus the number. Why not?
That's such a big number. But yeah.
But then we move to another game on Saturday at 3:30, Dan.
I'm ready.
By the way, as we go in reverse order through Rivalry Week, because there are games on Friday and Thursday that we will discuss here towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
What are we calling the Oregon State-Oregon game these days?
I don't think anything official has been used to update Civil War. I'm going with Platypus Cup because they play for the Platypus Trophy because, of course, that approximates the difference between a beaver and a duck. So I like the Platypus Cup. I think that's a fun thing to say. It is already in existence with the trophy. That's what I'm rolling with. But, you know, your mileage may vary.
The Platypus Cup, 3:30. Mm-hmm. On ESPN, it is Oregon State at Oregon. Oregon is favored by 7 points. So, the Beavers pulled off the dub last year in Corvallis, 41-38. Both teams have a lot to play for in this one. Both teams can win the Pac-12 North. Here are the scenarios. For Oregon, it's very straightforward. You win the North, you're into the Pac-12 title game.
Yep.
For the Beavers, you got to win. And you got to hope that Wazoo wins the Apple Cup on Friday night. Then they win it.
Correct.
So we'll see. But both teams have a lot to play for. Maybe by then Oregon State won't. But either way, this is a matchup that I think Oregon State surely will be ready for. I wonder, Dan, will there be any kind of letdown for the Ducks having lost that game, getting drilled last week by 31 on the road against Utah?
Oh, I mean, I think the letdown happened at the beginning of the first quarter against Utah. I think the letdown might be out of their system.
Okay.
All I can tell you about this game is I would take the points if you're a betting human. My feel on Oregon is it's going to be a close game because both of these teams are going to play similarly. And that is rely on the offensive line, try to control the clock, try to run the hell out of the ball. Oregon State is an excellent running team. If you watch BJ Baylor, now it's against the Pac-12 and some of the softer Pac-12 defenses, but their offensive line is legit.
Did you know, by the way, that Oregon State has a second string inside linebacker who has 8 touchdowns for this team?
I do. Yeah. He is a specialty player.
Jack Coletto.
Yeah. He comes in and runs like Wildcat stuff in the, you know, in goal line scenarios. Oregon State's a pretty good team. Now, they haven't been great on the road. They're not a great passing team. They don't have a gravitational player outside like they did with, I think it's Isaiah Hodgins. Hodgins, a couple years ago, he was terrific. But all I can tell you about this game is it's going to be over in like 97 minutes. Because I think both teams are going to be happy to run the hell out of the ball. And I think Oregon wins this game by 4 or 5 points, but I'm happy, thrilled to take the points in this one because as we saw against Utah, the Oregon defense has a really tough time getting off the field. And Oregon State, they want to run outside zone. They want B.J. Baylor to find 5.5 yards at a time and slowly drain the life out of defenses that they play against. And Oregon's just had a tough time getting off the field in those, you know, 3rd and 4s, 3rd and 7s or whatever. And Jonathan Smith is just a very savvy coach. So I think ultimately talent is going to win out and the ability to make plays downfield occasionally and the creativity of Joe Moorhead wins out. But I think it's too many points. Mario doesn't cover at home. He just doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going Oregon State. I'm not a big fan of their defense either while we're talking about defense, but their offense is actually quite good. And they should be able to move the ball against a banged up Oregon defense. The other thing, and maybe I'm shifting into my bowl picking mentality here, I don't know, but I would think this game has to just mean more for Oregon State, doesn't it? Like, you got to go back 20 years to the Dennis Erickson era to find a situation where Oregon State actually had something to play for. And I'm not just talking about a bowl. I'm talking about a conference championship.
No, it's not even that long because I was at the game. I was at the game in 2008, I believe. If Oregon State were to beat Oregon in that matchup in Corvallis, they would have gone to the Rose Bowl. And I got to watch Oregon and I forget who started that game. Oh, it must have been Jeremiah Masoli. Go to Corvallis and drop like 65 on them. And Oregon State fans left early, and there were all these sad roses left in the stands because they were ready to celebrate a Rose Bowl berth with that win over Oregon, and the Ducks just destroyed them.
But even still, okay.
Yeah.
So maybe my years are off.
Yeah, about 13 years, yeah.
But it's still been a long time.
Yes.
And, you know, the conference has changed now. You got the conference championship game and all that, but mm-hmm. I just feel like perhaps Oregon State will be in a different mindset, especially if Washington State wins that Apple Cup game, which is very possible sure. on Friday
yeah.
night.
Yeah. We'll and the Beavs are coming off of a win against Oregon last year.
Beavs
There's
are coming off of
there.
A win. They're coming yeah. off of a win. And, you know, one of the things that was a little off-putting in the Oregon game last week against Utah is it just felt like Utah was way more intense going into that game. Granted, yeah. home field environment and all that, but it just felt like Oregon wasn't prepared to deal with that level of intensity. And if we see that in any way, shape, or form from Oregon State, I could absolutely see it being a game where it's close and they just run yeah. and it's like a 4-point win for somebody. So yeah, I'm with you. Let's go points.
Yeah, I also saw Anthony Brown's wrist is a little bit beat up, but everybody says he's good to go. Oregon's starting safety and sort of the field general got hurt in the game against Utah. He's supposedly good to go, Verone McKinley. And honestly, there were a lot of points there for Oregon in the passing game. And so maybe Anthony Brown is more comfortable throwing the ball downfield at home. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like. We've gotten some real soggy, gross matchups between these two teams, but it's entirely possible Oregon wins this game 55-23. I'm saying it's on the table. I'm just saying it's not the likeliest outcome.
Okay. So we've got a pretty loaded slate here in the afternoon. Let me read through
yes.
a few of these games
so
that we can circle back. Also at 3:30, this one on ABC, Penn State, a 1-point road favorite at Michigan
Ooh.
State.
It's the Land-Grant Trophy. Isn't there a trophy in that one?
Land-Grant Trophy, yeah.
I didn't see that on the dock.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Also, Saturday at 3:30, we've got Northwestern at Illinois for the Land mm-hmm. of Lincoln Trophy. Illinois is my lock of the week, by the way. Love it.
Lock of the week.
Illinois -6.5. Northwestern so bad this season.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois has got a lot of flaws. Don't get me wrong, but they'll give you a game. They've given.
And Northwestern, by the way, terrible against the spread. Vegas has been
really bad
for some reason, trying to properly rate them, and they just cannot.
3:45 ACC Network for the Commonwealth Cup. We've
yes.
got Virginia Tech on the road at Virginia. Virginia favored by 7. Mm-hmm. Also at 3:45 on their respective conference network, the SEC network, it is Vandy at Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 31. At 4 p.m. on Fox for Paul Bunyan's axe, a great trophy. Again, one of those quirky college football things that only exists in college football.
Of course.
Wisconsin -7 on the road at Minnesota. We've got my favorite trophy, the Territorial Cup game. at 4 o'clock on Pac-12 Network between Arizona and Arizona State. Arizona State favored by 20. So, handful of games there, Dan. What jumps out to you? What are you excited about?
Whew. I mean, all of these games, pretty much. I would love to see Vandy cover this spread and show some life for Clark Lee at the end of the season. That'd be fun. I'm taking Michigan State at home.
Are you?
I think they finished the year on a high note. Yeah, I am.
Mm.
I mean, who's starting this game? Is it Christian Vayu? Who's starting?
I have
Penn
no
State?
Idea. My assumption is, I haven't seen anything. Again, we're recording this on a Tuesday. My assumption is that if Cliff is healthy, they're going to give it to Sean Clifford.
Okay.
That's my assumption. I'd love to see Vayu get the start this week, but I'll believe that when I see it. I think James Franklin's loyal to, you know, Cliff and him being a senior, and I don't think he's coming back next year, even though he could. So I think that he will probably be the guy. The reason I'm taking Penn State is I think the cat's out of the bag at this point, and you can clearly throw on Michigan State. It's just a thing. That's the only thing on offense that Penn State does well. They can throw on occasion. So I'm inclined to go Penn State there, even though it's a tough road spot.
I'm just not ready to color Michigan State by their last week, essentially. I think at home, in this spot, I think they can win this game. Maybe in ugly fashion, but I think they can pop a couple. I think Kenneth Walker can get loose a couple times. I think they're going to win this game. I think, you know, just finish out the year in a strong way. Illinois, I'm right there with you. I like them over Northwestern. A team that can't play offense or defense is troubling to me. And I think Illinois is showing some fight at the end of the
season.
They're
scrappy, right?
Somebody pointed out, by the way, can we please not call Illinois' win over Nebraska an upset? Illinois has a better record. Now, Illinois was a dog at home. I get that. But at this point,
yeah,
we can look back and be like, well, Illinois took care of business. Illinois very much took care of business. Virginia Tech is, I'm taking Virginia here. Hopefully Brennan Armstrong continues to get healthy, but I still think they have the pop to finish out the season in an impressive way. I forget if it was Message Board Geniuses, some of the Twitter account that posts college football message board accounts and posts that a Virginia Tech fan was asking for an interim coach.
I saw that.
In the stead of Justin Fuente's interim in Blacksburg.
I saw that.
Not a great sign.
But I'm taking the points here because despite the fact that Tech fired Fuente, they still played really hard against Miami.
Interesting.
And they came back. More importantly, they came back.
Gave up a ton through the air. I hear you.
They came back to make it close late in that game after being down 18. So there's still some fight in this team. I think they'll still play hard. I think Virginia wins, but I think Virginia Tech covers in a rivalry.
Yeah, could be a letdown spot for Virginia as well, though it's a rivalry game. There's no letdown in the Commonwealth Cup. Vandy, Tennessee, I'm taking the points. I think it's too many points.
Okay.
I think Tennessee comfortably wins this game, but I think it's going to be something like, I don't know, 30-10, something
okay.
like that.
31-10. What do you think about the Wisconsin-Minnesota game? I had trouble with that one.
I'm taking the Badgers.
Yeah, why?
I can't trust Minnesota. And it's a rivalry game, I get that. But against a terrific, terrific defense in what Wisconsin has, I think their ceiling is relatively low on offense. I know there have been moments where they've looked good and they've scored points, but seeing what I've seen in those stretches from Minnesota on offense, I'm just going with the strongest thing in this game. I think there's a reason they're favored by a touchdown on the road against a decent Minnesota team, for sure, a decent team. But I think, I think Wisconsin is going to generate turnovers, and they're going to score on both offense and defense, and they'll win this game, I don't know, 30-17. Or maybe 28-13. How about that?
I haven't picked a Minnesota game right in 2 years.
Yeah.
And
Neither is Minnesota.
My logic here is that if the Gopher attack, as we know it, consists of handing it off to whichever running back isn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And or the occasional pass out wide to Chris Ottman-Bell, whom we love on this show. We love Chris Ottman-Bell.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think that's enough to get the job done against a Wisconsin defense that is legitimately very good in an offense that has gotten better now that they've gotten Braylon Allen on track. So
that's true.
I think
somebody
I agree
suggested
with you.
War Machine as a nickname for him.
Yeah, but didn't
good.
Wasn't there a guy named War Machine in UFC who was like a really bad dude that we don't want to associate with a good running back that we're fans of?
Yeah, we're going to come up with something unique to the Solid Verbal. And the way we did Jonathan Taylor tailback, we'll do something for Braylon Allen, especially if he keeps it up in a rivalry game. So you don't think Minnesota can keep it
real close? I think they can keep it real close. I just don't think they're going to win or cover.
Well, if they don't keep it within seven, it's not
for
real
most
close.
Of the game. Maybe not down the
okay.
stretch.
Okay. All right.
There is no reason the Territorial Cup should be a close game.
Right.
Arizona State's favored by 20, but Arizona State does do these random disappearing acts. And Arizona right now is playing whistle to whistle.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't justify it. I think I have to go Arizona State.
I think Don Brown's gone though, right? Too.
Don
is
Brown's
he,
gone.
Is he? He went to UMass and he's not coaching out the year.
I believe that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
This game though does give me the chance to tell one of my favorite rivalry trophy stories.
Oh, okay.
And that is the Territorial Cup. The actual Territorial Cup, Dan, went mm-hmm. missing for 80 years.
Yeah.
From 1899 to 1983, it was gone. They didn't know where it went. Randomly, it turned up in a church basement in Tempe in 1983. They didn't actually start awarding this to the winner of the game until 2001. Now, because of the history, there are very strict protocols in place for the Territorial Cup.
I would think so.
To try and keep this thing safe, they created a replica so they have, you know, something for everybody to celebrate with on the field. But the actual trophy is like over 100 years old. It's a really old trophy, and they mm-hmm. don't want to damage the thing. The original cup is always to be handled per official protocols with white cotton gloves. It is uh-huh. never to be cleaned. Meanwhile, the replica can be cleaned with an appropriate silver cleaner or polish, but
obviously
they're very, very strict about the Territorial Cup right now, Dan.
Okay.
I think Territorial Cup goes to ASU.
I'm going to be very strict and say all Arizona State needs to do is hand it off. And
let's move to the nightcap on Saturday, shall we?
Yep.
Saturday, 7:30. ABC.
Yes.
It's the Bedlam game, Dan.
It's a big one. I might have to watch this one on my phone while I'm bowling.
This is a big guy here.
Yeah.
Big boy game. Yes, Oklahoma on the road at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State favored by 3.5 points, Dan. This one was in Norman last year. Oklahoma annihilated Oklahoma State. Spencer Rattler went for 301 and 4 touchdowns. Spencer Sanders, you know what he did? 97 yards and a pick.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
But these are different teams now, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Different teams. That's important context. The past is prologue. But Oklahoma still is the winners of 6 in a row here. Lincoln Riley's 4-0 against Mike Gundy.
Yeah.
What we know about this game is that the Pokes defense is far and away the best unit on the field.
Yep.
Top 10 defense by any measure. They haven't given up more than 24 points in any game this season. I am legitimately worried about whatever Jim Knowles is cooking up for Caleb Williams or Spencer Rattler.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever plays quarterback for the Sooners. I don't know. I think their defensive line, the Pokes defensive line against Oklahoma's offensive line, is the chess match to watch here. That is what I will be watching. I won't necessarily know what I am watching, but if you see one side get more push on the other, that will be your tell. That is what I am watching. I am taking the points in this game, and I can explain why, but I want to get your take first.
I'm ready.
What is your view on this game?
Pokes, lock of the week.
Really?
Yeah, come on, go big.
Lock of the week.
Yeah, this is underthink express to me. This is, I'm the engineer reporting for duty here. We're going to take this train to the Big 12 championship game. You mentioned it, the best thing on the field is the Oklahoma State defense, and it's Caleb Williams, right? That's his name? Caleb Williams?
It is his name.
Is he playing in Norman, or is he playing anywhere else?
He's playing somewhere else.
Okay. And how has he played anywhere else? Well, true road environment. He played well in the game against Texas, which we now downgrade a little.
Come see, come saw.
Ty, forget your you have like the Matrix green digits in your head trying to figure out a way. Like,
I do.
What if, but in third quarters, blah, blah. Oklahoma State is going to win this game.
The line's only 3.5. It's not like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like everybody is like, oh, they're going to win this game. 3.5.
What has Caleb Williams shown you recently?
Nothing. He ran for a touchdown. Okay. He threw a nice touchdown a week ago, but nothing.
What? And again, so they beat who they beat last week? Iowa State at home. At home, Iowa State. And he doesn't do much. They lose to Baylor by double digits. Doesn't do a lot. They go down against Kansas in the first half. Doesn't do a lot. This is just an Oklahoma team that can find different ways to play poorly. And if that's your MO, I don't know. I think Stillwater isn't the place to be. So I have this at 24-13.
Whoa.
Oklahoma State. Yeah. Pokes take this one.
I think you could mount a very good argument for playing Spencer Rattler in this game over Caleb Williams.
Okay.
Just based solely on what happened last year against the Jim Knowles defense and Spencer Rattler. Again, different team. But Spencer Rattler had no trouble back then, and it was still a very good Oklahoma State defense. They are measurably better. But I'd be curious to see how quick of a hook, if there is a hook, Lincoln Riley has for Caleb Williams in this game. I think this is actually a very even matchup. And I don't have a great sense for who's going to win. I trust in the Oklahoma State defense because they have been one of the few trustworthy entities all throughout college football.
Sure.
From start to finish. That much is clear. They will show up in this game. They will play well in this game. But I feel like because it's a rivalry, I feel like because Lincoln Riley does have the track record against Gundy, I just feel like this is a close game. And in a close game, I'd rather grab those points. So I hear you. I'm meeting you where you're at. I don't think you're wrong. I think it's 24-21. Somebody wins. I don't know who.
Come on, give me it. We're 13 weeks into the season.
I don't know. I don't know who wins.
Acceptable tie. What? That's such a weaselly move on your birthday.
I still don't trust Spencer Sanders. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, so pick the Sooners.
Oklahoma 24-21. What the hell?
Okay, thank you.
I'm a man. I'm 40. Let's go.
Yeah. No, you're not, apparently. You're not taking the Pokes on your 40th birthday. You're going against Gundy on your 40th birthday.
Going against Gundy. It's my line.
The karma
now
that puts into the universe.
I'm a man. All I'm right. The man. I'm 40.
All right. We disagree.
Also, in that night block on Saturday, a couple games here to rattle off. The Palmetto Bowl between Clemson and South Carolina. Clemson favored by 11.5. That one at 7:30 on the SEC Network. The 8 p.m. Fox game is Notre Dame minus 19 on the road at Stanford. We've also got Texas A&M on the road at LSU. A&M is favored by 6.5. That one, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Also, 7:30 ESPN2. We've got Kentucky on the road at Louisville.
Louisville.
I believe Louisville favored by 2.5 in the Governor's Cup.
Yep.
We've also got Saturday at 10:30 on ESPN, the late game, BYU -7 at USC, yeah. Dan. Your thoughts?
So I think Clemson is able to win that game. I think they're in a nice rhythm. We'll see how healthy they are at receiver. But either way, I think they should be able to move it against South Carolina, who they themselves, I mean, it's not like they're going to be let down and ignoring a rivalry matchup, because this is as vulnerable as Clemson has been in many, many years in this game. But I still think Clemson's able to win this game by a couple touchdowns, thanks to more consistency, both on the ground and through the air, but especially on the ground. I would take Notre Dame minus anything against Stanford.
Yeah.
I really, really. I mean, we're talking about $3 million a win for David Shaw at this point. And so I don't know if David Shaw, I mean, he recruits well. That's the thing, though. But they just don't have it. They're just not a good team.
Here's the thing about this game.
Yeah.
ND definitely wants to score 1,000 if they can.
That's what I'm going to say. There's a style point, and Brian Kelly has not been shy about talking about it.
He hasn't. And I give him credit for it, because some coaches are, you know, they're not willing to talk about it. He's been pretty open from start to finish this year. And he needs
they're in a unique spot. Yeah.
They are in a unique spot. I've got them winning. I've got them covering. Mm-hmm. Do not be surprised, though. Do not be surprised if after a random first quarter, Stanford is up 10-7. It's just the way this game works. This is a weird
game. Tanner McKee has flashes. Yep.
It's a weird freaking game. Notre Dame should eventually win and cover. So I'm with you. I'm just saying, maybe wait until the first quarter to place your bet, because I could see Stanford keeping it close for like 10 minutes.
Stanford may have the worst run defense in America. And so
they might.
Kyren Williams, whoever, should be able to comfortably pace this game eventually. I think I have it at something like 45-11. I don't know. 45-14, something in that. I have A&M over LSU. I don't love it.
I'm going LSU plus the points.
I hear you.
Coach O's last game.
Yeah.
For bowl eligibility. I can't really explain it, but I'm going to go points here.
I'm going Louisville because, in retrospect, some of Kentucky's biggest wins and performances, we downgrade a little bit looking at you, LSU and Florida games, though I still am a believer in Kentucky's offense. I just think Louisville right now has secretly improved this back half of the season to the point where, at home in a rivalry game, they can win this game by, I don't know, 6 or 7 points. High scoring affair. I have it like 42-38, 42-36. I don't know, somewhere in that.
I'm going to go Kentucky.
Ooh.
And that's going to be on the strength of a still solid defense and a really good running game.
Is Kentucky's defense solid?
I think it's solid enough. I think it's solid enough to put pressure on Louisville. And the problem with Louisville, as last year, is they're very good at shooting themselves in the foot. Malik Cunningham, as an individual performer, has been superb the last two seasons. I don't mean to take anything away from him, but they are mistake prone. And I think Kentucky can take advantage.
All right. Malik Cunningham has been popping, and Kentucky has the current 101st success rate pass defense, meaning the rate by which quarterbacks have been succeeding against the Kentucky, especially the Kentucky secondary, which hasn't been amazing, has been pretty extraordinary. So I think Malik Cunningham is peaking right now. I'm going with the Cardinals. We disagree. Next game. Oh, BYU-USC? I have BYU comfortable.
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I. I think I agree. The only game that I didn't hear who you picked, I've got Clemson minus whatever against South Carolina.
Oh, I took Clemson. I took Clemson.
Yeah. And I think let's lock that one up too.
Whoa.
Lock of the week.
So Clemson's just full on back to you?
I don't know if they're full on back, but I don't. Like, South Carolina's just not good on offense.
Right.
And so I think, based on the strength of the Clemson defense and the Clemson offense, which has been playing pretty well as of late, I'm going Clemson minus whatever. It's my second.
So then we both believe Wake wins the Atlantic and takes on Pitt in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Otherwise, I think I agree with you on the BYU game.
Yeah, USC's bad. USC is bad at football right now. They gave up 60 plus. By the way, I love picking against teams that have premature rivalry games, especially in the Pac-12. So like Stanford, Cal played last week, right? And Stanford loses that game in comfortable fashion. Once you lose to your rival and then you have another game, oh my God, bet against that team. So like USC just lost to its rival in embarrassing fashion. And now they play against a good team, a good BYU team. Oh my God, take BYU. Comfortable.
I am with you. I am with you. All right.
All right.
Can we travel back in time, Dan?
Ba-da-do, ba-da-do, ba-da-do.
Let's go back to Friday. We go in reverse order. We don't know when you're listening to this.
Right.
So in order to keep this as fresh as possible, we'll go back to Friday. Let's go to high noon. Boise State at San Diego State. Boise State favored by 2.5. Also on Friday at 1:30, Big Ten Network. This is the Heroes Trophy game between Iowa and Nebraska. Adrian Martinez is out. Before he was ruled out, Nebraska was actually favored despite their 3-8 record, which is a nice little statistical anomaly. We've also got at 3:30, Cincinnati minus 14 on the road at East Carolina. Not a rivalry, but an interesting contest to say the minimum. We've got at 3:30 the battle line rivalry between Mizzou and Arkansas. Arkansas favored by 14.5. We've also got North Carolina, North Carolina State. This one later in the day at 7 p.m. on ESPN. NC State favored by 5.5 in that game. And to close it out, we've got the Apple Cup. A very meaningful Apple Cup. 8 p.m. FS1, Washington State, now a 1-point road favorite on the road at Washington. What are your thoughts on those games, Daniel?
I guess I have many. Iowa, Nebraska is fast. It's Logan Smothers, I believe, getting the start for the Huskers and Adrian Martinez's stead. I'm going Iowa here. A green quarterback throwing into that defense in a rivalry spot. I'm going Iowa, even on the road. I cannot believe in Nebraska. I just can't. I can't believe in it, especially if the spread is going to be relatively close. If you're going to tell me that the game is going to be a relatively close call, I'm just not going to believe in the Huskers. Which other games? You said NC State, North Carolina. I have Devin Leary lighting up North Carolina and winning that game. There's a lot on the line for NC State for hopes of getting to the ACC championship game. I think he has a very good game and a bit of a shootout. I think there's going to be a lot of points, but I think ultimately NC State and the way Leary's been throwing come out on top at home. What other games you mentioned? Arkansas, Mizzou?
Yeah, I'm Apple on Cup. Arkansas minus the number to get to 8 wins.
As am I. Letdown spot for Mizzou.
Yeah, I'm on San Diego State. I mentioned that one because of the defense.
I'm on Boise State. Boise State's of late been playing really, really well. They've been covering spreads. They've been emphatic in the way that they've played since that Air Force game, I believe. Both sides of the ball have been performing. I'm going Boise. I'm going Broncos on the road. San Diego State has not been covering. You know, sneaking by UNLV. I'm just not a believer. So that's the
I'm
going
to go Aztecs. I'm with you on Iowa. I'm going Cincinnati. I mentioned Arkansas. I'm on North Carolina.
Okay.
And I was on North Carolina, I should say, when the point spread was 7. It's come down to 5.5 now in favor of NC State. I still think NC State's the better team, but I think potentially a lot of points here, and I'm just going to take the points if I can get them. I could see NC State winning this game something like 48-44. So I'm going to go points. Who are you on in the Apple Cup?
Oh, Washington State. Absolutely lock of the week. Double lock, I guess, double barrel, yeah.
Lock of the week.
I agree.
They lock double. The there week. It is.
I am a man. I am 40. I'm going 3 locks this week. It didn't work out at all the last time I went 3 locks last week.
Right.
But this week, I feel good about these selections here. Washington only -1. A team that's got a ton to play for.
You mean Washington State has a ton to play for?
Washington State, excuse me.
I mean, UW is trying to impress whoever the next coach is. I get that.
But I just feel like the situation here is such that Wazoo is basically the team from Varsity Blues at this point. They are just sort of playing for whoever.
Yeah.
They're all guts, minimal glory. Doing their part to try and finish out this season amid weird circumstances with their head coach getting fired a few weeks back.
Yep.
So, give me Wazoo, man. Lock it up.
Yeah, if you have a team that has a heartbeat of a run game, you stand a pretty good chance against this version of Washington, especially now with an interim coach. Washington's coming off of a loss to Colorado, I believe, centered around that 97-yard scoop and score. They just Washington finds ways to lose games, and Wazoo plays hard. Jake Dickert might get that job, by the way. He might get that Wazoo job. So, yeah, I'm in on the Cougs, especially with something to play for, giving themselves a shot should things break their way in the rest of the division. Yeah, give me the Cougs. I think actually like by 10.
And finally, my favorite rivalry as we travel back in time once more, Dan.
Oh, booda, 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 booda.
Thursday, 7:30 on ESPN. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Ole Miss on the road at Mississippi State. Mississippi State -1. Dan, who you got?
Back and forth in this one. I'm taking the home team. I'm playing Mississippi State. Ole Miss's inability to get off the field on defense against a Mike Leach offense, that's where they really drain you, where they find that crossing route, where they find that little hitch, where they find that little swing. Mississippi State of late has been playing pretty well, and Ole Miss is good too. Like, Ole Miss is a good team. These are two good teams playing. So on the margins, the home team and Ole Miss actually gets after the passer. They're sort of a feast or famine team, right? When they blitz, they're either sacking you or giving up a huge play. And I think that specific matchup, where I think Will Rogers is so accurate and so quick getting the ball out, I think that can spell for some sort of crazy game-turning situation. So it's going to be electric in Starkville. I'm going with the home team, favored by a point. I think they eke this one out in an always enthusiastic, emotional rivalry game. I can't wait to watch it.
I'm on Ole Miss here. I'm
really?
On Ole Miss.
Okay.
They can get the 10 wins, which True. Is an incredible year. It's going to be Matt Corral's last game. He already said he's going pro. He just got a lot to play for here. Got a lot to mm-hmm. play for. And I think a singular performance from Matt Corral here will lift them to victory. But I expect a fun game on Thanksgiving night. I think this is going to be a fun game. I think a lot of points here in Starkville. You know, we know it'll be a very, very electric atmosphere. I'm excited for the Egg Bowl, but I'm going Ole Miss.
So, I mean, behind what? Behind, like, what is the matchup that you think turns this?
What I like about Ole Miss is, despite everyone talking about the offense, the defense has actually been okay.
Yeah, it's improved over the course of the year.
It has actually been okay. They're better against the pass than the run, which should help them against a Mike Leach offense. It's still not a great defense, don't get me wrong, by any stretch. But I just feel like there will be a point in this game where it just devolves into a shootout in true rivalry fashion, where everything we know about these teams goes out the window, and I like Ole Miss's chances better in a shootout.
All right. And Ole Miss, by the way, I'm just looking, diving into the numbers as we speak, because I really do think this is... It's on the margins, right?
It
you
is,
beat
totally.
Mississippi State by playing really solid disguising zone defense, right? That the quarterback has to sit back, because if you sit in man, Mike Leach is going to find that matchup. Mississippi State has good wide receivers. They have an accurate quarterback. Ole Miss, the percentage of passes playing man coverage is 17%. The national average is 34%. So Ole Miss is thrilled to sit and play zone and prevent those bigger plays, which they do.
Yep.
But Mississippi State is not a big play team. So I think it's going to come down to third and eights and whether or not Mississippi State's going to be able to execute, because Ole Miss forces that. It forces execution. Really good teams beat Ole Miss. Flawed teams lose to Ole Miss. And so this one, I just think it's going to be a great game. I can't wait.
I am excited. The only other game here that I have, unless I missed anything, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big one.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. The old Oaken Bucket. It's the Big Ten
yes,
Game of the Week, presented by our good friends over at DraftKings. It's Saturday. It's 3:30. It's on FS1. Of course, it is Indiana against in-state rival Purdue. Purdue is favored by 15 at time of recording here, per DraftKings Sportsbook. What do you know about the actual old Oaken Bucket, Dan?
Very little. You told me it was a Civil War bucket.
Civil War bucket. They found it on an Indiana farm, but it's 12 inches tall, 6 pounds, one of the greatest trophies in all of sports. If it is not the essence of college football that we award a 6-pound bucket to the winner.
Yes, sir.
Gosh, I don't know. What is? Indiana's lost 7 in a row. I think almost assuredly this will be number 8. The question is, can they cover the 15-point spread? Do you have a lean here?
Yeah. I think Purdue wins this game going away. There's a reason why Purdue is a 15-point favorite. They're playing in West Lafayette, correct?
In West Lafayette, yep.
It's in West Lafayette. Purdue has covered 3 of 4, and I believe Indiana has only covered once this season, and that was against the elitist of losers, Maryland. So, no, Maryland, the Terps aren't lining up on the other side of the field. So give me Purdue comfortably in this one. I don't know what the over-under is, but I think, I don't know, Purdue's been a little bit inconsistent in covering the over, so I think the move here is Purdue minus the points in what is usually at least an interesting game. I think it's just less so this year with how inept Indiana's offense has.
I'm with you.
Fallen too, yeah.
By the way, Purdue getting to 8 wins.
Yeah.
Going to a decent bowl game.
Definitely.
Maybe against an SEC team. What are we talking about here? That's actually quite interesting.
A win over a then top 10 team, which then doesn't mean much, but still. A really impressive win against Michigan State, beating Nebraska on the road. It's been a successful season. For Purdue. I'm looking at the Illinois game right now. Yeah.
It has, absolutely. And I especially remember doing the Purdue preview way back when, in July, whenever mm-hmm. we did that.
I was down on the Boilers.
We both were. You know, yeah. All the preview publications were down on the Boilers as well. And clearly it's been a really successful campaign for Jeff Brohm.
Yep.
Don't forget to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code SOLID, S-O-L-I-D. You bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game, and you will win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. So it's free money. Promo code is SOLID, S-O-L-I-D. This Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, it is the official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER-DAN.
Okay, few things before we go, because we got through these pretty quickly. I mean, for us anyway, right?
Yeah.
We're a little over an hour right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have a captive audience. Okay, the following teams with a win, because they're all real close. I don't have that sound available to me at this moment. Two bowl eligibility. Ball State, San Jose State, South Alabama, Florida or Florida State, like we mentioned.
Doom.
Rutgers and Maryland are playing for a bowl berth. North Texas, though they do have UTSA. Charlotte is playing against Old Dominion, both playing for a bowl berth. Troy, Hawaii, Virginia Tech, Tulsa, LSU, Middle Tennessee, or FAU, playing each other. West Virginia, Syracuse, and Memphis, all playing this final weekend for a bowl bid, which is great. You know, it's a starting point, hopefully, for a lot of these teams who are crawling back to becoming a bowl team or maintaining bowl eligibility, whatever. But hopeful for that. And also, I just want to know what your Thanksgiving plans are, and if you have any food thoughts, holiday thoughts.
Yeah.
Because this is a holiday that is intertwined with football.
Going to be having some folks over here.
Yeah, just randos in the area.
Just randos, yeah, just whoever swings on by.
Yeah.
So it'll be a very active day here.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing anything too crazy. Not doing anything Rubenstein-esque with our meal. It's going to be a very traditional Thanksgiving Day meal.
Is there a turkey being roasted? Is it sort of standard?
No, there will be a roasted turkey.
Okay.
A roasted turkey in my oven.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to mashed potatoes.
Are you doing the roasting?
It will be a team effort. Okay.
Yep. A dry brine, a wet brine, no brine.
I have absolutely no idea, Dan. You're asking questions.
By the way, we're running short on time. By the what you need time wise if you're brining. The dry brine is the move. Dry brine absolute move over the wet brine.
Do not even know what that means.
Wet brine is you're dunking the bird in a bath of water and seasoning. And so it's like, oh, it's going to become juicy. No. The dry brine is you pat the bird down with the seasoning, put it in the fridge, I believe uncovered, so the skin gets really dry, right? You get all that moisture. You want the moisture out. And then the seasoning brings out the natural juices when you roast it. It's penetrative. Oh. Is that a word?
It penetrates
the seasoning. So the dry brine, in my experience, makes the best bird. In my experience. So
what are you doing?
Just look it up and decide for yourself. We are going over to Jody's aunt and uncle's house. There's some family in town. And I think it's sort of a very informal drop by, make yourself a plate. I don't think it's a sit down long table kind of official thing. There's just going to be a bunch of food out. Come by, make a plate, watch some football, because there's a bunch of little kids involved. You know, you have some that are like 12, 13, 14, 15. You have some who are like 6, 7. I've got a 2.5-year-old and a 9-month-old. Brother-in-law has an 8-month-old. Like there are various ages. So it was like, it would be too hard to corral. I am making my broccoli casserole, which is terrific, excuse me, broccoli and eggs and cheese and, you know, the crispy onions. It's my favorite thing in the world. I'm going to make some meatballs.
Okay.
Just, I was told to bring kind of grazing foods. So it's not like a barbecue or a sweet meatball. I'm making just a homemade marinara sauce and homemade meatballs. So I'll do that. I'm going to make some of my chocolate chip cookies, which are excellent. Just have them, don't have them. I don't care. And I don't know what else is going to be there. I honestly have no idea. That's what I'm contributing. I think my mother-in-law is making some sweet potatoes, which I always enjoy. But I don't trust that the turkey is going to be excellent, because making good turkey is really difficult. So I'm probably going to focus on sides more than anything, and I'll be pleasantly surprised if there's a good turkey. I don't know if it's a fried, a smoked, a roasted. I have no clue. But I'm looking forward to it all the same. I'm sure there will be pumpkin pie. So that's my direction.
Well, look, a lot of folks are going to be listening to this show on the way to Thanksgiving, whether you're hopping in the bird and flying across the country, whether you're listening to it on Thursday morning on the way to grandma's house, I don't know. Wherever you may be, we hope this Thanksgiving is a safe and happy one for you. Hope your food situation treats you well. Please don't forget to follow us on social media and tweet us and send us DMs and messages and let us know all about your meal. Not so much because I care, but Dan definitely does care.
Slide into Ty's DMs for any reason.
Dan cares about your food situation. Legitimately cares about your food situation. We'll be talking about it in our Verballer Discord, which again, you can get access to if you go on out to verballers.com. But if not, please do send us a line. Call the Reverb line at 408-VERBAL-1. Let us know, if nothing else, how your food situation is going this Thanksgiving. We hope all is well.
Do we have a nickname? Do we have a nickname after all of that for Saturday? Surprise party Saturday?
Surprise party Saturday. Yeah, I like it.
Somebody's going to be having a surprise party in the locker room afterwards. They were not expecting to be thrilled, whether it's Auburn, whether it's Michigan, whether it's, I mean, Oklahoma State's a favorite, so that's not the answer there. But somebody is going to be a gigantic underdog just because that has been the tenor of the back half of the season, and win the game outright and have a surprise party to finish out the 2021 regular season in electric fashion, let's say. How about that?
I like it. All right. Don't forget, if you are out and about this Saturday, College Football Blitz. We've been telling you about it all year. It's the Red Zone channel for college football. Listen to our good friend Speedy Stephen Hartzell as he walks you through all the top 25 action. It's Saturday. It starts at noon. You can listen on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 84, and of course the Varsity Network app. You get live whip around coverage for every game again in the top 25 as called by home team announcers, which is pretty cool. You get the on the ground in the stadium feel for all the scoring as it happens.
The best.
Called by the hometown radio crews. Just 3 commercial breaks every hour, which means 56 minutes of live play-by-play. Again, that's the College Football Blitz.
You're out and about. You're doing things. You just had to go buy what? Drywall screws? You're out. Yep. You're fixing. You're doing stuff. You got to stay abreast sometimes if duty calls as a homeowner, as a husband, as a father, as a grandson, whatever. You got stuff to do. You got to listen to Stephen Hartzell and let him guide you through those gaps in your watching day.
Daniel, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Be safe.
You too.
To all y'all out there, don't forget, go on out to our website, solidverbal.com. Check out all of our episodes. Get yourself ready for college football rivalry week. As ever, we will be online. Don't forget to call the Reverb line at 408-VERBAL-1. And we are going to be doing a Q&A show on Black Friday. Not going to leave you in the lurch.
Yeah, how about that?
We'll be back. We'll be doing a Q&A show on Friday. So bring it right back here on Friday morning. We'll answer some of your college football questions. We're going to do an extended version that the folks on the Patreon can listen to on Thursday, but there will be part of that available on Friday as well. Otherwise, we will be back recapping all the action that was bright and early on Sunday morning. In the meantime, for that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, have a safe, have a healthy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
How old are you?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm 40.
The 40-year-old.
I'm 40.
I'm 40.
The 40-year-old.
Happy birthday to you.
Forte.
Motherfucker, you look 30.
I'm 40. Happy birthday. I'm 40.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur. Right.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.